Could you give me your name and address?
Robert Hicks, 924 East 9th Street, Bowles, Louisiana.
And now could you describe the history of the Bogalusa Voters League and how you got involved in it?
Well, the history of the Bogalusa Voters League, as I know it, has been an organization been here quite a while. It was an organization that was first formed by Mr. Joe Dean, a blind man that started voter registration. This was their principal objection. And they started off, and later it was headed by Mr. William Bailey. And he was ousted about 4 or 5 years ago in a political issue where he went against the general body and asking that the Voters League endorse a candidate which the membership did not want to endorse. And from this, he was ousted and came up on a new person of Andrew Moses, the president of the Voters League. And about this time, he was there about a year and a half before, during the time about the, right before the Civil Rights Act of 64 was passed, during 63. The real conflict in the Voters League started when the Corps sent letters in that they would be in the Bogalusa era. And from this, the mayor made some statements, and the members of the Voters League under Andrew Moses went out and asked that they not come in. And from this meeting, which everyone's quite aware of Brooke Hayes, and how the Klan blocked this meeting and put a bad mark on Bogalusa. And from this, the Commission Council and the white structure set up a day of testing in Bogalusa and invited the Bogalusa Voters League, as we would say, as the guinea pig in the operation. We were called in by the mayor at this time when the when we heard about the Voters League refusing to let Corps in. They had a meeting at the Labor Union Hall where most of their meetings were being conducted, and the Negro community responded to this meeting, and they had quite a few arguments, and they re-elected some officials. And this is when I was elected treasurer of the Voters League, and Ms. Jenkins came in as the secretary of the Voters League. And when we were called by the mayor to come over to have a day of testing, we went along with the mayor's program. And we went out and invited Corps in after the mayor said to get any organization in to help you. And from this, it went into, we went down and contacted Ronnie Moore, who was head of the Louisiana Project at that time. And Bill Yates and Steve Miller came into Bogalusa. And we went through a day of testing. And all the places integrated except about two. And from that, we started running into trouble when the police force wanted to get the co-workers out of town. It's been the first time that any white person had come in and stayed in a Negro neighborhood. So they wanted to get out. And unfortunately, or fortunate enough, that they were staying in my house. And when we refused to put them out that night, we were contacted that night after the day of testing by the chief of police and the deputy sheriff. And these people were asked to leave the mob of people forming, and this is when the trouble broke out in Bogalusa. And we found out that this was just a gimmick, just a thing to get the black spot off in Bogalusa. So then we set up another on our own of testing. It's when, of all the restaurants that had integrated, they refused admission to Negroes, and whereby we had to take them into court and had the courts to desegregate the restaurant. One turned private, several little small restaurants closed up and refused to serve. And at the present now, even though the court order said they must serve Negroes and they refused to close up, you will still have to have the police department to be in the present. And if you don't have some other protection besides the police, maybe a bunch of Negroes with you to more or less give you some sort of personal protection, you still cannot go to restaurants and eat.
Yeah, that's what happened last night, isn't it?
Yes, we were had some people to go in last night, and we had people waiting outside to make sure that nobody's car was probably sugared, or maybe sand put in their tank. Mm-hmm. And it was one or two people. It was two people on the outside. And after about an hour, hey, there were about 15 or 20 whites had gathered outside.
Give a little background to the Deacons.
After the movement began in Bogalusa, because of the police, the position of the police in refusing to protect Negroes, at this time we had Bill Yates, a co-worker, that had been in contact with another white person, co-worker from North Louisiana, and they came up with an idea of self-protection. And from this, out of Jonesboro, Louisiana, the Deacons were originated. And Bill Yates got in contact with the people in Jonesboro, and they set up a meeting between Jonesboro and Bogalusa. And from this, we invited the people from Jonesboro down, and we set up an organization in Bogalusa called Deacon for Defense and Justice. If it hadn't been for these people set up the idea of people willing to protect themselves, Negroes, we wouldn't be here today. But the fear of the Deacon itself of violence stopped the Klan from doing a lot of night riding and harassment of workers that had came in, co-workers that had come into Bogalusa. And from this, the Deacons have been very essential to the people in Bogalusa, thereby giving us some type of protection for ourselves when the police force refused to give us protection.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I just wanted to ask you one other question. Do you work at Crown Zellerbach?
Yes.
And have you been involved with the union there?
Yes, I've... Well, you have to belong to the union once you join. And I've worked as a shop steward ever since I have been employed there, and also as trustee of the union. Mm-hmm. And I've been real active in the union. And right now, at the present, we have a suit filed against, I have a suit filed against Crown for the discrimination and in lines of aggression, and also a charge had been filed against the international and local, the white local 362 and the Negro local 624 as parties to the discrimination at Crown. We have filed a suit after investigation by the government that they found discrimination in the plant. We now have entered into court, and the judge went along with the decision of the Crown official international and our lawyers as settling out of court. After two meetings, we were unable to solve the situation. And the international contacted the white local, and the white local said that they refused to change the line of progression, dual line of progression, that is. And we are now going into court. And they're going to fight an issue that's contrary to Tile 6 and 7 of separate lines of progression, one for white and one for Negro. We'll not try to integrate the union or have one union for purposes of handling complaints of some type of recognition. I imagine there will be one later on, but at the present, we feel it wouldn't be to our advantage to integrate the unions at this time.
Okay, thanks a lot.